Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Thank you so much. Praise the Lord. Our senior pastor, Pastor Michael Obi, led a team to the Noma Anua 24/7 praise and worship in DC. And that took place Friday. Hallelujah. That took place Friday through Saturday morning. It was a 24-hour praying. I mean, just worshiping the Lord. And we thank God for what the Lord has done through that worship. And as we are talking now, I believe they're on their way coming back to Cleveland. Hallelujah. So please join me. Shall we please rise? Join me by as we pray for Pastor Michael Obi and the team as they return back to Cleveland. Father, we are so grateful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you this morning. We are so grateful for what you did, oh God, in DC, Friday through Saturday. Thank you, mighty God, Lord, for you indeed visited. Lord, not just DC, you visited the entire nation. Lord, take all the glory in the name of Jesus. Thank you for obedience, O God, Lord, that your servant have shown. And thank you for all, O God, that have gone there, the team, from various states. Father, especially from here, we thank you, Jehovah God, Lord, for what you did. Lord, we are so grateful. Be thou exalted in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, we commit it to your hands. Lord, your servant, Michael Obi, and the team, as they return back to Cleveland, Father, be with them. Grant them journey mercy. Bring them back with testimony. Thank you, Father, for hearing. Take all the glory. Father, this morning we open up our heart unto you. Breathe upon us as we share your word. Lord, we ask, O God, Holy Spirit, that you take your place. We want to hear you, want to see you. You do your thing, mighty God. We are just but vessel. We are just but, Lord, Father, vessel of clay. Touch, O Lord, my lips. Touch my heart. Touch, O God, every faculty of mine. Bless your people this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, may your name be exalted. Thank you, Lord, for hearing. For we pray in Jesus' name. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. All the time. Amen. It's a great privilege to again stand before the people of God to share the word. It's always, I always say it, it's not a right. It's a privilege, it's an opportunity. And I thank God for the servant of God giving me that privilege and the opportunity to share. I am just yielding to the Holy Spirit this morning to use just whatever the word, whatever is shared, to multiply it into our heart and to challenge us and encourage us in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Turn with me to the book of 2 Kings chapter 3. 2 Kings chapter 3. We're going to read the, I know within 5 minutes we'll be able to read the entire, read from verses 1 to 20. All right. I want somebody, fast reader. Fast reader? Okay, come over here. 2 Kings chapter 3. Read from verse 1 to 20.
Use the mic.
Second one? Thank you. Just give her the second mic. 2 Kings 3, 1 to 20.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now Jehoram, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel in Samaria, the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 12 years. And he wrought evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like his father and like his mother, for he put away the image of Baal that his father had made. Nevertheless, he cleaved unto the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which made Israel to sin. He departed not therefrom. And Mesha, king of Moab, was a sheep master, and rendered unto the king of Israel 100,000 lambs and 100,000 rams with the wool. But it came to pass when Ahab was dead that the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. And King Jehoram went out of Samaria at the same time and numbered all Israel. And he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, saying, "The king of Moab hath rebelled against me. Wilt thou go with me against Moab to battle?" And he said, "I will go up, and I am as thou art, my people as thy people, and my horses as thy horses." And he said, "Which way shall we go up?" And he answered, "The way through the wilderness of Edom." So the king of Israel went, and the king of Judah, and the king of Edom, and they fetched a compass of 7 days' journey, and there was no water for the host and for the cattle that followed them. And the king of Israel said, "Alas, that the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them unto the hand of Moab." But Jehoshaphat said, "Is it not there here a prophet of the Lord, that we may inquire of the Lord by him?" And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, "Here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah." And Jehoshaphat said, "The word of the Lord is with him." So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. And Elisha said unto the king of Israel, "What have I to do with thee? Get thee to the prophets of thy father and to the prophets of thy mother." And the king of Israel said, unto him, "Nay, no, the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." And Elisha said, "As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee nor see thee. But now bring me a minstrel." And it came to pass, when the minstrel played, that the hand of the Lord came up upon him. And he said, "Thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For this saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beasts. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also unto your hand. And ye shall smite every fenced city, every choice city, and shall fell every good tree, and stop all wells of water, and mar every good piece of land with stones." And it came to pass in the morning, when the meat offering was offered, that behold, there came water by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water. And when all the Moabites heard that
Thank you. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Right, that is the story. Okay. Jehoram, the son of Ahab. You know, Ahab, as we know, was a very wicked king. Now, his son took over from him. And during the reign of his father, Moab had been sending yearly, tribute, all right, to Israel. But as soon as Ahab died, the king of Moab, Mesha, rebelled, as we've read. And then he tried to have an alliance, a military alliance, and he called on Jehoshaphat, the king of the southern part, two states, you know, to join him, and also another king of Edom to join so that they can fight against the king of Moab. Now, don't forget that Jehoshaphat happened to be a godly king. But the reply of Jehoshaphat here shows what we are going to look at later. Right. The topic of this message is when God shows up. When God shows up. What happens when God shows up? What happens during the time of Jehoshaphat? What happened when God showed up? Anytime he shows up, when there is a crisis or need or problem, what is always the result? We're going to see what happened here and what God is telling us today, what God is telling you, telling me. Hallelujah. 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 When you are set for a battle, there are lessons we are to learn this morning. When you are set for a battle, when I'm set for a battle, like we know that every believer, we are contending with forces of darkness 24/7. So when you are set to fight that battle, which is not visible, which is not physical, there is something we must learn, knowing that the battle is not against flesh. It's a battle against the world. It's a battle against the devil. You must never depend on your intelligence or your strength. That's lesson number one. We must not depend on our intelligence or our strength. Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6 says, "Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord." We are fighting a war, a battle, a spiritual one. And on a daily basis, except we trust in the strength of our commander, you will discover that our strength, our strategy is not enough. It's not always enough. Because the one that we are facing, the one that we are contending with, has been there before we were born. Has been there before the world was created. Alright? He has been there as one of the archangels before he fell. So, we must not rely upon our intelligence or our ability or our experience. What we gathered yesterday. Lesson number two. The Bible says that they went in the way of wilderness. This is not teaching, just exhortation. They went by the way of wilderness of Edom. That is verse 8. And when you look at the word wilderness, you know what that means. Wilderness is not a plain ground. Wilderness is, you know, is talking about topography that is not conducive. It's not a place you can inhabit. It's not a place you expect to see water or see, you know, things that is needed on time. And if you want to travel, it's going to slow you down because the topography, the ways, you know, the way is found, you cannot run the way you want to run. You cannot walk the way you want to walk because of the hilly and the stony and the sharp objects, everything around there. They went by the way of wilderness of Edom. And that is human strategy. Because the question was, where do we go? How do we go? That was the question that Jehoshaphat asked. And when this, he said, which way shall we go up? And he answered, by the way of the wilderness of Edom. Brethren, in these last days, the enemy is doing the last minute battles. And he's recruiting his army. He's recruiting men and women. He's recruiting people. You will see what is happening in our society. You will see what is happening in America. You will see what is happening all over the world. That what was, those things that we're not hearing before in the past, those are the things that, you know, is prevalent right now. You hear of, you know, gay, you hear of lesbianism, you hear of all these. All these things that you are seeing, they never were there before now. What I'm saying, they were hidden. And today, people are celebrating all these things that, you know, that is against God. Because the enemy is making them to be bold. And it's giving them the boldness, giving them his own anointing, all right, to stand against the kingdom of God. And more people are getting ensnared by the devil. And they are getting ensnared, they are falling away from faith. People are falling away from faith today. And they call it, they give a different name to it. They are saying, we are trying to, you know, we are trying to regather. We are trying to see what, you know, the faith that we say we believe in. We want to question it. We want to see if it is true or not. Hallelujah. 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 So we cannot go by human strategy. We cannot go by human strategy. Whatever the human plan and strategy, we must lay down before the Lord. Because flesh, we always tell us, go by the way of wilderness. And the way of wilderness is the way of the world, like we had last Sunday. It's the way of the world. It's the way that you want You know, it's something we imagine, something we plan out of our imagination. And number three lesson I want us to look at this morning is found in verse 9. They journeyed how many days? 7 days without water. They journeyed 7 days without water. We know that 7 is a number that talks about completion. Number 7 is talking about perfection, completion. They journeyed 7 days, no water. Why? Because they journeyed by the way of wilderness toward Edom. That was the human strategy, and there was no water to sustain them. And we all know what water stands for. We know that without water, there is no way we cannot live without water. 3/4 of our body mass is water. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So without water, we cannot make it. We need water to live. We need water to exist. And water is talking about the Spirit of the Lord. Jesus stood on the last day of the feast, and he cried and said, "If any man thirst, let him come to me." Let him do what? Let him come to me. Whoever believes in me, according to the scripture, out of his innermost heart shall flow rivers of living waters. It's talking about the refreshment that comes from the presence of God. It talks about the refreshment that God gives. It talks about life. You know, that God gives. Water stands for life. It stands for refreshment. They journey 7 days, no refreshment. 7 days, the presence of God was in there. 7 days, God was absent. 7 days, they were walking based on their wisdom. 7 days, they were going toward Edom because they want to do what? They want to fight against Moab. But then, as they journey in the wilderness, God has been left behind. Don't forget, when they started, there was no prayer, there was no consultation with God. No single prayer. And the one that would have asked for prayer, Jehoshaphat, did not ask for prayer. He just said, "My people are like your people. So our army is like your own army." Right? When we compromise, when we forget who we are, when we forget that you have been planted as light, and I've been planted as light, and we need to shine when we're supposed to shine. We need to shine when the time comes, when darkness is showing up. We need to shine. When we fail to shine, the enemy will always take the upper hand. The enemy will always incurs, will always come in and take possession. So think about it, 7 days. No refreshment, no Spirit of God. God was not in that battle, in that military alliance that was formed. And so what happened? Not only that they were weary physically, I see that they were weary also spiritually. Because they were going to fight a spiritual battle with a physical weapon, and God was not in their midst. How many times we take decision? How many times we decide to do certain things? It could be a nice thing. It could be a good idea. It could be something that, you know, profitable. It could be something that will lift somebody up. It could be something that will bring joy to the family. It could be something that will help somebody else somewhere. But because, all right, we did not lay down that idea before God and allow him to do what? To prune it, to vet it. We don't allow him to vet it. Allow him to have his input. Allow him to say, instead of going to the left, you go to the right. Instead of taking this number one, make it number five. We don't allow God to have his way. Now we discover that later on, there is something, there are questions that we begin to have as a result of starting a business or a journey or an idea that came and want to implement without allowing God to give us answer. And at the end, we come to a crossroad. How many times do we do that? God is teaching us a lesson this morning. that we dare not do in the refreshing presence of God 24/7. Hallelujah. We need a refreshing presence of God in our journey, in this Christian journey, in every decision you make, in your home, in your marriage, in your job. So 7 days without God. Somebody will say that 7 days a week, right? That 7 days without prayer will make you weak. Will make you W-E-A-K. And 7 days without having the refreshment, the refreshing presence of God, will make you not only that be weak, you'll be demoralized, and the enemy will take advantage of you. We cannot afford to live a day without his presence. Not even an hour without his presence. So think about the thousands and thousands of people they were going to put on arm's way without asking God, please, will you go with us? God, please, will you, how do you want us to do it? What is your heavenly strategy? Instead, they put their own strategy in place. Hallelujah. I want to say this, then I will mention 3 mistakes that you have to avoid. 3 mistakes we need to avoid. When it doesn't go your way, when things don't go your way, check. It may not be God. When you plan something and you think, oh, I want to do this, I want to do that, and you discover that it's not as you planned it, not as you expected it to come out. Find out. Could it be God? Check it before we do one of these things that I'm going to mention. 3 mistakes for us to avoid. 3 mistakes you must avoid as a believer. 3 mistakes we must avoid as families. 3 mistakes we must avoid as a church. Number 1. No ungodly alliance. No ungodly alliance. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 to 18. The beginning says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Do we have a fast reader there to just open and read? Say, don't be unequally yoked together with what? With who? Unbelievers. Then he went on by asking some questions. Let me read it from here. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God said, I will dwell in them, walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So, ungodly alliance, it could come in any form. Not only marriage. Ungodly alliance. This decision I'm making, right? And maybe you're talking about business. You want to have it. I remember we once, got a man, somebody introduced him to supply us fish from Nigeria. All right? And they said he's a Christian, a very good one. But we later discover, as a result of that short time, he was in Nigeria, we're communicating. He sent us these batches of fish, different, a kind of species that his people look for. We bought them. And the agreement, what he said at the beginning, began to change with time. It changed almost 3-4 times. We now discover that he was taking advantage of us because we don't have large sum of money to deposit for him to supply us. At the end, we discover that what he was even saying the words that came out of his mouth showed that he wasn't a Christian. He said he can send higher assassin to kill us. He will send higher assassin. For how much? We paid him everything. But, he ripped us off. So we broke that agreement with him. There are ways. At times you just discover that some people are not Christians. Some people look like Christians. They are not. Check very well. Don't have ungodly, unholy alliance. They might talk like Christian. They might behave like Christian. When I say behave, some Christian language. All right? But check it. And if you know and you discover that this one is not a Christian, please cut it off. Cut it off. Unholy alliance. It could be as a result of your friendship in the school. It could be anything, anyway. Just apply it to yourself. Anything that has to do with it, you know, somebody calls you, you know, he says, I'm a Christian. There's a Christian written on his head, but we are not looking at Christians, you know, by word. We are looking at Christians by act, by, you know, the way we live. Our life must show Christ. Our life must demonstrate Christ. So, young people, if you are going to marry somebody, say, I'm a Christian. I'm born again. He's even speaking the language. All right? He has those language and everything. He knows how we phrase those words. Check it. Check it very well. And when you check it, you put before the Lord. If you discover he's not a Christian, please cut it off. Don't say, God, you understand. Change his heart. Lord, save his soul. Let him be saved first before you go. If it's not saved first, don't go into it. Second mistake you must avoid is presumptuous act. Presumptuous act. This is arrogant and disrespectful. Think about three powerful nations, and one of them is a godly Jehoshaphat, and that could be me. Without asking God, I just assume, oh yes, God is going to go with us. He's going to fight for us. He's going to do everything. So, just let's go. No prayer. No seeking God's face. And we just jump. We assume he was there yesterday. He's going to be there now. Are you sure he's going to be in that journey? Are you sure he wants to be part of what you are taking now? Because even you look at it, that the son of Ahab, Ahab happened to be the weakest of all kings. His son took over from him. And he did not depart from the sins of one of the kings that took over, one of Jeroboam, who later on led the northern kings of the kingdom into idolatry. He did not depart from it. And yet, I was looking at it, it could be me. When this Jehoram called Jehoshaphat, maybe he was afraid if I said no. Maybe he's afraid. I don't want to offend him. Maybe he's afraid. Let me also pay him back. Maybe he has done one good turn. So let me use this moment also to pay him back. Whatever it is, don't be presumptuous. The Bible says, Psalm 37 verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to what? To pass. He shall bring it to pass. And Psalm 147 verse 10 says, God does not delight in the strength of the horse. He takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. God is not interested in all that. So, don't be presumptuous. If you are going to do it, three times, four times, you're going to take a decision. Four times, ask God, is this right? Will this bring glory to your name? Will this bring honor to your name? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm sure that every one of us that came to Cleveland, we came by the leading of the Lord, right? Amen. All right. And the students, you came by the leading of the Lord and God led you to the right school. So you're also going to ask the Lord when you are done with whatever you are doing here, where God wants you to be. Which city, which job, which place you want you to go. He will surely direct you. Don't be presumptuous. My friend is in Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma is beautiful. Yeah, Oklahoma might be beautiful for that individual. But you have to ask God, can I, Lord, go to Oklahoma? You need to find out. Don't be presumptuous. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. How many things have I mentioned now? Huh? Two. Number one, no ungodly alliance. Number two, no presumptuous act. And number three, do not wrongfully blame God when things do not go as you planned or expected, especially when you did not involve him at the beginning. If you did involve him at the beginning, why now go to him and say, God, why did you allow this thing to happen? Because when they journeyed for 3 days and there was no water, 3 days, no water. You know what the king of Israel said? We read it there. He said, oh, alas. Wow, God has brought 3 kings, 3 nations together. He brought us here to kill us. God brought us here. That is God they did not contact. God was not in that planning. But when things did not go right, when things did not go as expected, he turned around and blamed God. There are so many people today that are living a life of blaming God or blaming somebody for their problems. Oh, God, why did you allow me to do this? Why did you allow me to, get this kind of job? Why did you allow me to marry this man or this woman? Why did you allow me to have, they blame God for so many things. Just like, anyway, everything started from the Garden of Eden. Remember? When they fell and God came and said, Adam, what happened? It's not my fault. Not my fault. I didn't complain that I needed anybody when you suddenly thought it should not, I should not be alone. So you brought me a woman. It's the woman you gave me. So it's not my fault. So God, it's your fault. And then, of course, the woman you gave me. All right, Eve, what happened? I'm a weaker vessel. If you have created me as strong as the man, I should have been able to resist the devil when he came. So because I'm a weaker person, so it's not my fault. The devil beguiled me. The serpent beguiled me. In one word, it deceived me. So, and then I ate. All right? God did not have to ask the devil or serpent because already he's waiting for his judgment. So don't let us go into blame game, blaming God, blaming somebody else. Let's be accountable. Let's take accountability. Let's take responsibility for whatever we have done wrong. If we have not involved God at the beginning of whatever, your marriage, your school, your life partner, if you have not involved him, you have no right to go back and query him and question him. You did not do it right. But if you have involved him, my brother, ask him 10,000 questions. I consulted with you, Lord. I spoke to you, Lord. You told me I should go ahead. You told me I would be fine. You told me I should not be afraid. Now, what happened? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, in 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 10, you'll find it there that the king of Israel said, and the king of Israel said, alas, for the Lord has called these 3 kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. You see, he was already prophesying what he wanted to see. He was already prophesying that they are going to be handed over to the king of Moab. See, that is the kind of spirit that was working in the heart of that king. We have to be careful what we speak. We have to be careful what we say. Oftentimes, what you see, thank God for our whole fellowship, what you see, if what you see is negative, don't profess it. Don't No, don't say it out. Instead, counter it. Destroy it. Declare it's not going to happen. Declare that is not my portion. But if you what you see in the spirit is good, all right? Because our God is good. He said, I know my thought toward you. My thought toward you is to give you what? A future, an unexpected end. God is a good God. And he wants to give you, you know, good things. He wants to take you to the next level. So, if what you have seen in the spirit is a good one, and you know what God is saying, even if you have obstacles, don't look at the obstacle. Keep on doing what? Keep on voicing out, prophesy, speak out what you have seen in the spirit, and give power to that that you have seen in the spirit. And the more you speak to it on a daily basis and you stand upon it, it's going to happen. It's going to come to pass. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. So as you are thinking about it, Lord, even though there is obstacle, I get that job. Oh, Lord, I get that land. Lord, I get this favor. Lord, there is an open door for me. This year, 2022, is my year of supernatural miracle. Everything will fall into places. Oh, yeah, for me, I shall be favored. I will be lifted. All that have been against me will begin to work for my good. You begin to prophesy. And as you are doing that, heaven is listening. Angels are taking your command. And with time, you discover that those obstacles will give way to what you are professing. Because you have been given power also. The power, there is power in the word of God. And as you are professing those words, and you are pronouncing them, you are speaking them not only to the atmosphere, you are speaking them to yourself. The more you are believing what you are saying, and the more you are believing what you are saying, and atmosphere is receiving it, what will happen? Angels will effect what you have declared. So your declaration is very important. Hallelujah. So this king of Israel is already saying, God, you are to be blamed. You are bringing these three kings for us to be delivered into the hand of the king of Moab. And that wasn't it. So avoid those three mistakes. But then let's go on. When you read from verses 11 to 13, you will see what the Holy Spirit will always do in the heart of a believer. And I thank God for the message through the worship this morning. All right? Praise the Lord. Even when you go wrong, sometimes, when you find yourself in the wrong territory, in the wrong place, and you have taken the wrong decision, because you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, there will be a check. Something's not right here. Something is wrong. We shouldn't have gone this far, 7 days without water. Something is wrong here. And Jehoshaphat decided, you know, to do something. Verse 11. But Jehoshaphat said, is there no prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord by him? So one of the servants of the king of Israel answered and said, Elisha, the son of Shaphat, is here, who poured water on the hands of Elijah. And Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. Hallelujah. Please be sensitive. That is the next lesson we are to learn. Be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Be alert. Always be alert. When a question comes into your mind, especially when you know that this is the Holy Spirit, you know, bringing a check. You know when your vehicle is having check engine light? How many of us have experienced that? I have a vehicle now that refuses to work after putting some money on it. All right, the check engine light is there and is doing, it's not only that is there, you know, it's even beeping and it's bringing a different thing. The more you are putting the money, is something else is coming. I said, no, you are going to stay in that place. Praise the Lord. The problem is not the check engine light. The check engine light is just to tell you that something is wrong under the hood. Something is not right under the hood. So go check it. So when the Holy Spirit brings out that light, that check light, that, you know, it tug your spirit. And then there's a question. Is this of God? Is this right? Listen. Because he's trying to lead you. Sometimes when we go astray, sometimes when we take fast decision, sometimes when we assume and we presume that, oh yeah, I think this is a good decision. It might not be. It might not be. Hallelujah. So let's be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, because the Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of the Lord, they are the sons of God. Not to be led by the Spirit of God shows that you are not. I am not, if I'm not being led. So, if there is absence of the voice of God or the leading, we are being led differently. There are some, they can close their eyes and they love minister immediately. There are some, they are looking, and God will use what he is looking at to give them a message. We have various gifts, but you must know how the Holy Spirit ministers to you. If you're a child of God, he has put that spirit in you. So when something is not right, he will give you a sign, a check. So you have to listen, you have to be sensitive. So Jehoshaphat was sensitive, and he knew something wasn't right. They went to the Hallelujah. So when they got to the man of God, we read it already. The man of God said, hey, what are you doing here, Joram? What are you doing here? You want to consult, you want what you know, want to hear from God? Why don't you go to the prophet of your fathers? Because Ahab was a wicked man, and he will not obey God, will not follow God. So go and consult. But if not for the presence of Jehoshaphat, somebody that was carrying the presence of God. You know what the Lord is saying? There are so many things that is wrong in our society. So many things that is wrong in your community, in my community. So many things that is wrong in our schools. So many things that is wrong in your workplace. So many things that is wrong everywhere. 7. There are things that are wrong, but God placed you there. And God is going to say, oh, for my daughter, I wouldn't have done this. But for my son, I wouldn't have intervened. God placed you there in order to preserve the lives of men and women, beginning from your family. There are some in the family who will not believe. They will not believe until they see miracles, until they see signs and wonders. And God will show them at the right time. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. You know why? Because you are there. Jehoshaphat was the one that, you know, Elisha saw. Look, for Jehoshaphat's sake, I will, you know, consult God on your behalf. If not for Jehoshaphat, nothing will be done. Thank God for Jesus. And God is saying, if not for Jesus, my son, who died on the cross for your sin and for my sin, nothing would have been done. So God is looking at the finished work through Christ. And because of that, he's showing you favor. He's showing me favor. There are so many mistakes you have made. There are so many things that we have gotten ourselves into. A lot of mess that have been done. But God is looking at his son, Jesus. He said, because of my son, I will show you mercy. Because of my son, I will intervene. Because of my son, I take out of this dungeon. Because of my son, I will not allow the enemy to crush you. Because of my son, I will heal you. Because of my son, I will deliver you. Because of my son, I will lift you up from that pit. And I will make you a testimony. And the same thing, you as an individual, God is looking at you in order to bless people that surrounds you. Remember that because Paul was in that ship that was going to Rome, when that ship came under heavy storm, the ship would have been destroyed and people would have been totally dead. But then God spoke to Paul, said, because of you. All right? He had that revelation. He had the Lord minister to him and he was able to stand before them. That no soul will be lost except the ship. That there stood before me an angel of the one I serve yesterday. And so he used that to encourage them. And because of Paul, just one person, one holy person, one dedicated soul in that ship, over 300 and something people or more were saved, were delivered from death. Remember, Abraham have to stand and intervene by praying, and they went into a sort of a prayer of intercession for Lot and the people in Sodom. And because of Abraham, and then Lot, God, Lot and his house were saved. You remember that? One person. You are there as a representative of heaven. Wherever you find yourself, don't think that I don't know why I got myself here. I don't know why I'm in this office. I don't know why I'm in this school. You were there for a purpose. Hallelujah. You are there to show forth the light. You are there so that lives will be preserved. You are there so that men will discover the truth. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. All the time. Why is it necessary for God to show up? I'm going to mention three things. We have seen three things we must avoid, but three reasons why God will have to show up. Three reasons why God will have to show up in America, in Africa. Why God have to show up today in this world. Why God have to show up in your family. Why God have to show up in your life. Why God have to show up in the church. Number one, there is urgent need. There is an urgent need today. Urgent need for God to show up in the world. The pandemic. One of the ministers of God that always minister on the radio mentioned that based on statistics, that at the end of year 2021, the number of people that would have been dead or that have already died now will be nothing less than 4 million in America. 4 million people as a result of the pandemic. That is the one that is known. There are so many people that have died without knowing it. And so many people have died in ignorance, not knowing what God is saying. We've heard it again and again in this house. That God used this as a warning to the world. And God is saying to his people, his creation, to pay attention. That his creation, men and women, should begin to turn back to him. This is the time for repentance. This is the time to turn to God. But then, not only pandemic that is killing people. We have all kinds of diseases. We have accidents. We have so many things that is happening. I didn't go into all that. We have reasons why a lot of people are dying without knowing Jesus. And they die, they go to hell. Because they didn't have opportunity of repenting. And not only death, there are even issues that warrant immediate attention today. It's not just people dying. There is need. We are having urgent need for the unconverted souls all over the world to be to Christ. Jesus said this gospel of the kingdom will be preached into all the nations, and then the end will come. So what is holding back Jesus at this time is the preaching must reach all nations as a witness. It's not saying everybody will be saved, but everyone would have heard, every nation would have heard about Jesus and be given the opportunity to repent. They'll be given the opportunity to, to say yes to God, to yes to Jesus, or no. So there's urgent need today for the presence of the Holy Spirit. If you go into nations, we'll see how many nations today that are still unreached. So many. Some are living, they've never heard anything about Jesus. They've never heard anything about Jesus. And some, many people in the Urban City and some other places, they've heard more than 100 times about Jesus and they have not taken any decision. There's still urgent need regarding those people because God must do something about them lest they do what? They perish. How about my family? How about your family? There's urgent need for those who are yet to know him to come to know him. Hallelujah. Salvation of soul. Much more than that, which is the greatest, is we fall short of water. No refreshment. The world is going their own way without the Spirit of God. Everything is being done based on human knowledge, based on technology, based on ideas, based on the past achievements. So people are erring. We need the presence of the Holy Spirit. We need revival. We need God to visit us again. They journey 7 days, no water, no refreshment. The power of God wasn't there. The presence of God wasn't there. The world is just managing. They are doing everything. Look at, there's no government in any nation today that is stable. All of them, something is happening. They're changing their government like we change clothes. Oh, this one is wrong. This one is bad. Let's get under one. They get under government, a new government. What happened? After 4 years, you change again. We keep on changing. We keep on changing. The Bible says, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. We need the Holy Spirit. There is urgent need. There is urgent need. Basically, there is urgent need. Somebody shout hallelujah. There's urgent need. No, so many people today that needs the touch of the Lord. Healing. So many people are sick. So many people that needs the help of the Holy Spirit. Because he's the only one that can do it. He's the only one that can heal. He's the only one that can deliver. He's the only one that can bless. He's the only one. And the focus must be on him. We need his presence. There's urgent need. There's urgent need for churches to know that God has given us the last chance to be his witness and to stand for him, not to compromise. Second reason why God have to show up. Enemies, aggression, and incursions. The enemies, aggression, and incursion. I've already mentioned COVID-19. The whole world is sick. There are a lot of crises that is, going all around the world. There are crises in our lives. Everybody, one problem or the other, one challenge. Their families have challenges and they have crises. All right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we need the presence of the Lord. He needs to show up. He needs to show up. Because except he shows up, we can't handle it. We cannot handle it. We need his presence. I am looking at, in my spirit, we will not just be sitting in the church. We say, okay, after the church service or a particular day in the month, we will go out there to go and not just share the word, but lay a prophesy upon the sick. Pray, prophesy upon the sick. Go to the hospital. Go to the prison. All right? Pandemic shut us in. But we must begin to come out. We need, there's urgency. God must show up. God must revive the church. We must go beyond just sitting in the room like this, in the church setting, and just keep on hearing it. But we must go out there and display the power of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 There are so many needs. People are trusting the Lord for their future, for their husband, for their wives. Those who have been waiting on the Lord for their own children. So many needs. There is urgent need for God to show up. The enemy is aggressively walking, attacking. And the church must not sit down either. The third reason why God must show up is for him to take the glory. It's for him to take the glory. Amen. You know, here when Elisha had told them, you know what? He said, "Thus says the Lord." Because, you know, before he said that, when they came to Elisha, he wasn't moved. The Spirit of the Lord haven't spoken. And that's where we need, thank God, for Spirit-filled worshipers, musicians. When they minister, something happens. When they minister, the Spirit of the Lord moves, like he did this morning. Praise the Lord. All right? Elisha said, "Bring me a musician." And when the musician began to, you know, play, sing, what happened? The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And then he said, what was it? What was the message? And he said, "God says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water, so that you, your cattle, and your animals may drink. And this is what? A simple matter in the sight of the Lord. He will also deliver the Moabites into your hands." What has given headaches, nightmares to the three kings? God says, is what? A simple thing before the Lord. There are so many things that is giving us, you know, trouble, heart, sleepless night. What he say when he shows up, it's a simple thing before him. It's going to turn your nightmares. It's going to turn it around. It's going to give you a song to sing. It's going to change your garment. That garment of heaviness is going to change it and give you a new garment of praise. God is going to change your story. "Oh, you know, I've never been this. I've never been that. It has been hard. It's so tough. It's so difficult." God wants to change your story. I begin to see God of possibility. That God visited me. God did this. God opened the door. God opened the way. God gave me favor. Hallelujah. When God shows up, things begin to happen. Amen. When God shows up, the enemy are defeated. When God shows up, the impossible thing, they turn around, they become possible. When God shows up, all the things that have been working against you begin to work for you. When God shows up, every ammunition of the enemy will be turned around against them. Remember Jehoshaphat? You still remember this name, Jehoshaphat? And when three nations came against him and Judah, that he went before the Lord. That is the secret. He did not presume, "God, we are your people, so let's just go out there." They fasted, they waited, they asked the Lord. And the Lord spoke while they were waiting on him. And the Lord said, "This battle is not yours, this battle is mine. I take it over from where you started. You have gathered the people, yes, but it's my battle. So let me handle it my own way." And how did he do it? God just told him, "You don't need anything for this battle. You do not need any ammunition. You do not need any gun. But arm yourself with spirit-filled worshipers. As you are worshiping the Lord, and as you are praising the Lord, God will make the impossible possible." And as they were praising the Lord, praise the Lord for his mercy, for his good, and his mercies endure forever. As they were singing, marching toward the enemy, because God has given them his own strategy. I'm learning too. The strategy God gave Jehoshaphat, God told him, "Tomorrow, go down to the valley of Aziz. Go down to the valley of Aziz. There you are going to find these enemies. And as you begin to worship, I take it over from there." And as they began to worship, God took it over. The Bible says the three nations, they began to kill themselves. They turned their weapons against to themselves instead of against Judah. Let God fight the battle, but turn it over to him. Let him show up. And that is the prayer. "Lord, show up. In my Christian journey, Lord, show up. In my marriage, Lord, show up. Lord, regarding my health, Lord, show up. Regarding God, that assignment you have given, Lord, show up. Don't take it for granted. Lord, this my final, whatever it is, assignment I have to do in the school, Lord, show up. My financial situation, Lord, show up. The enemy say you will never amount to anything. Or show up, silence him, because the glory must be given back to God. That's the third reason why God must show up. Your story must not end the way the enemy wanted it to end. There must be something that will make you turn the glory to God, and then your story will end with testimony. The Lord want to turn situation around in your life, and the Lord want to silence the enemy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God says, the natural way, the normal way for you to see, you know, water, especially in a dry place like that, a wilderness that had, you know, for days, no water. God is saying, don't expect it the natural way. I am not going to do it through what you know. Wind, rain, thunder, every natural way of getting answers to your question. God is saying, no, I'm not going through that way. I'm going to do it my own way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is God we serve. God has all the power. And he has no equal, he has no rival. So don't expect wind, and don't expect rain, because I'm not going to go through the natural way that you normally know, that, you know, when it rains, then water comes. I'm not going to go through the natural course. I'm not going to pass through the natural course. What are those things? God can bring your healing without those medication. Hello, somebody. God can bring your dream, your life's dream, without stress. You say, well, you see, I need to save. I need nothing less than I need about $50,000 for me to be able to start this kind of thing or project. God can do it in his own way without you saving. I'm not saying saving is a sin. In fact, God might ask you, you know, you have to take the step of faith to begin. But what I'm saying is that God can surprise you and raise up help where there's no help. Hallelujah. You need somebody to stand for you in that office. Oh, I need to get that job. I need to get that place. That job is what I'm looking for. You are sending your CV and everything, whatever it is. God can do it in his own way. Hallelujah. Your husband, your wife, God can bring your partner to you in his own way. Not the natural way. Oh, I have to see the person first. God may give you the name. I watch a Christian movie and I learn something from there. This person happened to be blind, but he's a born again Christian, was blind. And God told him, after he fasted and prayed, Lord, who is my partner? God gave him a name. And God gave him a local church in that city where that lady worships. And by the time he told his pastor, you know, humanly speaking, the pastor was wondering. But the pastor followed him to go and see the pastor of that local assembly. The pastor of that local assembly also, you know, okay, is this true? Is this a genuine Christian or not? Okay, we are going to test and be sure that this is genuine. All right? So they got the name of the sister, but then what they did is to bring all the sisters in the church at a particular time toward the pastor's office side. All right? Which is, well, that is human way, but they have to make it tough for him. That whoever you say God spoke to you is blind, you must be able to, you know, point out that lady among all these. I think there are about 20. Praise the Lord. Number one, was sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Number two, he has to be obedient. Number three, he has to take a step of faith. He joined first time, second time, the third time, as he got to the lady, he had a witness in his spirit. See, I feel my spirit that this is the lady. Well, you might say, it's a movie, but you got a lesson from there that you must pray. you must let God do it in his own way. Hallelujah. That goes on to so many things. In our homes, in your marriage. Whatever is there as the challenges, God wants to handle it in his own way. You may not see wind, you may not see rain, but this valley shall be filled with water. What is the urgent need? The urgent need is that so that you and your cattle may what? Drink and be refreshed. The urgent need today is that you, myself, all of us might drink and be refreshed. We need the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, in our homes, in our family, in the church like never before, so that not only that we are refreshed, but the aggression of the enemy will be what? Will be deterred, will be stopped. And glory, return back to God. As a roundup, it's a song God gave me this morning as I was preparing this. You're going to sing it. So God will fight your battles. He fights our battles. And all glory will be his. Hallelujah. The song God gave me is When God Shows Up. Okay, the song is You Alone Deserve the Glory. But let me give this statement and then we sing that song together. We pray. When God shows up, he cleanses our mess. He cleanses our mess. God cleansed the mess because of, for his namesake and for the sake of his servant, Jehoshaphat. When God shows up in your life, in my life, in your family, whatever the mess that is there that the enemy, you know, brought or we brought as a result of our human shortcoming, God will cleanse it for his mercy's sake. Hallelujah. He will refresh us and he will put the enemy to defeat. Shall we rise on our feet?